Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Where are you going?
Brunch with Mommy.
Aww. I gotta go do that today too. Just Michelle wakes up.
Yeah, unfortunately it's so old we can't sit in the car that long, so we gotta go all the way down to them. Maybe last year we were somewhere in Troy, but anyway, yeah, you know, we're trucking down to, it's 14 in Van Dyke, maybe 15 in Van Dyke, somewhere that way.
I just gotta get two things together. And I'm gonna take a load of stuff to the plant on our way to Holly.
Yeah, my mom got me some smoke detectors that are wirelessly interconnected that say right on them to not use near amateur radios in the manual. So, you know, give them to them since the smoke detector they have is from the 70s, so and, they wanted to borrow my address. Truck a bunch of stuff down to them.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, she bought when I first got the house, and she asked me if I had a carbon monoxide alarm. I'm like, I don't know, and then the next thing I know, she ordered it. Well, you gotta give me a chance to go look. And I looked, and I had two of them.
Thinking of you, though. That's all she's doing.
Yeah, talk close to the microphone. I can barely hear that one.
Yeah, sorry. I switched. I'm in the office or workshop now. So I was talking toward where I was looking.
I thought you were talking, but I couldn't hear what you were saying before, so I don't know what you said.
He said, she just loves you is all. She's thinking of you and the grandbaby.
Yeah, that's, things just show up at my house sometimes. Whether I want them or not.
Alright, I got a wire enclosure to assemble. Then I gotta pack everything else up into boxes. Yeah. It's that kind of a morning.
Do you sell any of those, or are those all for our stuff?
I have sold exactly two. But I don't know how many I've made now for all of our stuff. Michelle took 3 with him, or with her yesterday, took to Jeff. I'm going to take a couple west with me to for Mike. I've already got Sean's dualies sitting here. I got to get to Sean someday. And then I'm printed. This one I'm assembling is for work. So, yeah. But out of the probably 15 or 20 I've made, and I've also made, I think, probably 15 personal for internal use. And 2 I have sold.
If I got it to me, I'll be in like 10 minutes of Sean right now. But, yeah, I made mine, and it works pretty good. I made the one for the switch too, the other half, and it didn't fit at all. I had to get creative with the Dremel and shove it in there. But eventually, I want to upgrade the switch to a 16 port or whatever, one of those little half switches.
I gotcha. No, they all worked, and then I tested the 10-inch rack ones that I made. The first 2 I printed, they curled because I didn't put a brim on there. So I redid all, I did those 2 and then 3 more with brims, and they turned out really nice. I got to order the longer screws, so they'll fit in a little 10-inch rack, but those turned out pretty good too.
I didn't have any curling issues with mine. It printed pretty good, PCG right on the PE sheet. You're trying to taking some sheet with you, but. Mine worked pretty good. The only issue I had was all the dimensions on the that one were just a little bit too small, and it did not fit. They're like a mil and a half short in every dimension.
Well, I don't. All I do is print PETG, and like the full size ones here, I don't have that issue. But that 10-inch model one, that it curled, you could see. I mean, it was probably usable, but I'm like, I wanted perfection. This is, at a smaller scale, I was going for looks more. So I chucked them, printed, you know, replacements, and I was like, all right, let me get a brim this time, and it took care of that.
Bit of a different model, or kind of the same deal? It's weird, it curled on that one.
Yeah, it was a different model. It was really because it was just the edges on the like kitty corner from the where the screw holes are, because it's all, you know, on the 10-inch, it's all one. You print it as one piece, and so it was just the screw holes, and it was only on 2 corners, and I'm like, all right, But I was trying to make it, I wanted it perfectly flat, textured.
I'm trying to remember, didn't they have a way to do 10-inch racks on that system? Was it, you print 2 small ears or something like that, it'll fit a 10-inch rack? I don't remember.
Honestly, I don't know. I didn't look at that. I found another model for 10-inch wise, 50-70, and used that.
I could be thinking of the MikroTik bracket system, too. I know that. That one, if you put the other gear, they have that bracket system for the short switches and stuff, like if you print or if you use the other small gear, it'll fit the tenant track. I might be thinking of that.
Yeah, I gotta find the switches upstairs. I gotta grab that. And then, I'm still not sure what router I want to stick in there yet.
Yeah, you got AX3 to throw in there? I think it was WOJ, but it was very quiet out there.
Yeah, whatever it was. Not there? So yeah, I'm going to assemble this and then box up the, I got 5 computers done, so I'm going to box them up and take them to the plant so they can get added to the pallet of stuff that's getting picked up tomorrow to be taken over to Greenville.
So you got more KVMs so that the first doesn't have to drive the 2 miles to the other office?
Yeah, I got all those done too. I dropped one already in Fenton, and the other ones I got labeled and ready to go, so I can drop those at each office.
And then you gotta figure out how to plug it into the KVM.
I color-coded everything, because there's HDMI to HDMI, HDMI to display port, USB A and a USB C. Excuse me. I bought little one footers for the HDMI and display port to HDMI adapter for cables. So those are easy to for them to color code it, and then I made a one sheet. But we'll see. I'm sure someone will screw it all up to still two.
I know what to do is try to hit a idiot through something. But I'm hiding in no man's land here, so I don't think you need to hear me. I'll be back to you to deal with.
WFC.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, B1.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WDAKL.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Echo 8 Foxtrot Lima Yankee monitoring.
WDAKLO.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
DRC from WDAKLO. Jack, I got you a little bit staticky. Go ahead. Yeah, okay, Jack. Yeah, you're outside on a handheld probably, huh? I lost you there, Jack. WDAKLO, clear. Connected to CMN Network.
FQN, this is KFA TVA. Got a copy on me now?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8, Mike Yankee November, mobile and monitoring. Currently connected to CMN Network.
connected to CMN Network.
KDA-EEE. W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Is that you, Sean, that I hear? Kilo Fox, Charlie, Echo, Tango, Quebec.
Yes, it is. Just out making a run. Thought I'd throw my call out. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Not too bad. Got the tractor all summarized, I guess. Took the snow blade off of it and the wheel weights, or the weights and all that. And got the deck on it and did the first cut of the year. Son came by and visited with Mom for Mother's Day for a bit, and just in general got a few things done around the house, and now I'm running out to my wife's favorite place to pick up a carryout for dinner. Our anniversary is tomorrow. We're going to go out to eat tomorrow, so today I'm just going to pick up her favorite for Mother's Day.
I got a fun question for you, Sean. I had seen that, historically speaking, it appears as though there was a W8BRO repeater that was D-Star. Do you know the reason as to why that one was brought down? Is it not popular in the area or something?
I don't know much about the machinations of is it W8 or WAA? Anyhow, the BRO repeater. I know the gentlemen involved, they're good guys, and they work with Todd. He has the double nickel in Warren, which I am looking at right now, and they're on the tower with him there, and their repeater has been through a lot of metamorphosis over the years. It's been D-Star, it's been Fusion, I think currently it's DMR. So as far as I knew, the Bro DMR repeater in Warren is alive and well. So if you know something else, then clue me in.
Yeah, it is DMR right now. I was kind of curious because I just got a radio that's D-Star, and I was kind of just trying to see what all exists in the area. And I had seen somewhere indicators that the BRO repeater was at one point in time D-Star, and I think there was another D-Star that was northwest in the Oakland County area on 2-meter, and that one doesn't seem to exist anymore as far as I can tell. So I didn't know if, like, D-Star was old and now people are not using it in favor of DMR, or if there was something else going on that I was unaware of.
Well, I'll tell you what I know of the situation, and I'm probably half right at best, but I think they started out as a D-Star machine, and the guys were quite active with that, and I can't tell you why they moved from it. I just think that it's not popular in this area. You know, there's just not a lot of infrastructure, and you know, they tried to change that, right? For a hot minute, there was threats of
of a Detroit machine going up, courtesy of Ron Miyake and his group when they were involved with GM, MNX, I think that's his call. He was on the verge of putting one up, and then that DXA repeater is the one I think you're referring to, North Oakland County. It's, where is that? Not Oxford, not Clarkston. I can't remember where that, Auburn Hills, maybe? Auburn Hills, I think, sounds right. But that one, I think, still there, alive and well. And then they were, they joined up, and I don't know why. I really don't. I just don't think it ever really caught on in this area all that well. They tried fusion for a little while, I'm pretty sure, and I think that's just oversaturated, and now they're back to, I think they were once DMR and now back to DMR, so I don't know. They tried different things with that repeater. They ran the gamut, and the only thing I think they haven't done is NXBN or P25, so... the whys and the what-haves and all that, you'd have to get with Dell or Wayne or one of those guys, and they could probably give you a good explanation of what's what and why. But yes, it's not a D-Star machine anymore, but that one you point out in Auburn Hill should still be there. Did I time out?
You just dropped out for a second.
All right. Anyhow, bottom line is that, why it is what it is now and not something else, you'd have to ask Wayne or Dell. Those would be the two main players there. They'd probably be better telling you why.
Okay, thank you. That kind of roughly makes some sense. Some of it that I was thinking of, at least personally, was kind of just more along the lines of buying at minimum for used market on D-Star equipment being $300 minimum. And for DMR, you can buy a DMR radio for all of $100. The price tag, the bigger one, was my guess at least. So yeah, that does sound about right, that if there's not much of a community for it, you might just not support it. Okay, thank you.
You know, there are, I think they still use it, but they use it with the reflectors and hotspots and stuff like that. I just don't think there are many, if any, repeaters. There's one for sure, I think that DXA repeater is still operational, and then there still might be one in West Plains. Those are the only two I know of, and I just think it's a matter of popularity, and you're right, it's a buy-in thing. I think it's just a little bit more costly to get into D-Star than it is to get, a little bit harder to get into it than the other modes, and so therefore the other two have thrived around here. But there are other parts of the country, I think Alabama in particular, the state funded a huge D-Star network, and I guess D-Star is very popular down there, so it's a matter of the regional warming up to the technology, I guess.
K-A-A-U-H-C.
Yes, sir, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
Yeah, I think they're, hi, Sean. I think it's either Lake Orion, or it used to be Lake Orion, or somewhere between Lake Orion and Lapeer. Got the one guy who used to commute down this way to talk to him, and I think he was the one that was involved with it. And I think they used the tower that I called Pastor Bill. I forgot what his call is now, but anyway, he moved to Missouri. He was in Marine City, and the DMR repeater, I think. Todd has some plans. He has some stuff in the works to hook up the DMR there to his place up in Port Austin, I think. And and then some other connection where I think you'll be able to link all the way up to, like, I think you were saying, like, Mackinac City, you know, on down, maybe even to the Ohio border. So he's working on it. He just is waiting until he opens up his lake place up there, up north. But over to the Brian.
Let me jump out here. I got to jump in and grab my chow. I'll be back on the road here in just a second in your neighborhood. I'll be right back.
Yeah, it's Darren. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. I was asking Sean about why there wasn't much of a E-star in the area, but it looks like there was at one point in time. And his best suggestion was, A, talk to the people who actually ran them for a while, and then the B was, it probably had to be the buy-in price of the E-star being $300 minimum versus the $100 minimum for new DMR radios.
Could be part of it. I think in part for them, it was a big deal, like, they were going to bring the D-Star. A number of them got radios. I forgot what kind it was. They could get them for, around $300, I think it was. A pretty decent one. I forgot what the model was. I thought about getting one, too, because it had some features. The ICOM, you could actually pass through any mode. So say if you were using... So you had like a smaller radio and you could then pass it through and it would repeat it out, whether it be DMR, D-Star, or Fusion, which was kind of appealing. So you could use that as a, kind of a repeater thing. But I believe they still have the AriesNet on 24 Alpha. I know I always bring it up on the double nickel net. And I think it's on Monday at 8 o'clock. And so if you can get kind of hot spots to 24 Alpha, you could check it out.
I have tried the 24 Alpha reflector recently, and it seems like there was no one on there when it was last Monday, I believe. And I'm not certain if that is or isn't hooked up to everything else right now. But as far as I could see, there's a BRO repeater, and it has a different reflector number that was mentioned on it. So I don't know if it's actually connected to a different repeater or reflector or not.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. It might be something that posted just because of the way the registrations went. I remember when you did that, and I remember Dell did a lot of work, and see how you got registered, right? And he was, I forgot what it was. There's some, he knows all the technical stuff about that. He's just kind of a thing. Now he's retired. I don't know if he's spending more time up north or whatnot. His wife is Roberta, and she was involved with that bro thing too. So, but I think she was involved with some kind of emergency services with Oakland County kind of a thing, but she was involved with Dell, there's Dell and Wayne, and then Todd and that. So it was hosted on a tower over there in Warren, but yeah, it hasn't been there for a bit. I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking it's been a bit now, but there was some equipment issues or something like that, and the cost, and so they were able to get up on DMR again, which used to have a DMR repeater there, so they were able to bring that back up or get a new one or something like that. So that's kind of where it stands at the moment.
It sounds like at the very end you were saying that there's a lack of hardware to get the repeater up and running, but there's still an interest in getting a D-Star repeater in the area. Is that correct?
It's been some years. I don't know if there's, I think they just kind of put it to the side. I'm not sure where the machine is next time. I haven't talked to Todd in a little bit. What happened to the machine if they took it from his site there in Warren, which is his home, or whatnot, because it was then, like, God has this 147-foot freestanding tower in his backyard.
Tower, just because I'm kind of curious on what it looks like visually. Pyramid-shaped ones, or whatever, with the three legs, or is it one of those column ones that just has a weird triangular lattice that goes all the way up?
You can see it right off the freeway. What is it? I think it's the four, I believe. I don't know if it goes to three or something like that. I think it might be four. I don't know. Not to mention it. I've seen pictures of it many times. I've seen it in person. It's just been a bit. And it used to be out there on the road, but I think they didn't renew the domain. I don't think Dell renewed it or something like that before you could go out and look at the pictures. I might have some around somewhere. I'll have to look at that. But yeah, it was a tower that was somewhere in Pontiac, and they took it down. So in fact, we're celebrating the 26th or 27th year that it's been up. But yeah, he installed it from Pontiac, and then he reassembled it at his place in Warren.
I'm guessing with it being over 100 feet, he's had to fill out some FCC paperwork to let them know that there was a big tower over there. Is that correct?
That, I'm not sure, Darren. I know there won't be another one in Warren, because he went in and he got his permits and all that, and somehow, you know, he had some recordings and stuff of the city council and stuff, like, seeing how that could happen and all that. Though it's so tall, you don't even notice it because it's freestanding. It looks like it's just, because it's just off of Shaner, just west of Shaner. Looks like it's in the back of businesses. Really, you really almost can't tell, you know. So then they changed the code in Warren. So this is grandfathered in. This is the last one to be put up like that.
Shaner, and what would the other road be that is right nearby it? Shaner and Crossroads, that's what I'm thinking. What's the other Crossroads?
11 Mile, I-94, or 696. So if you're traveling, say, west on 696, you know, approaching Shaner, just look off to the right, and it'll be to the, on the north, like, it'll be the south. So it would be, like, it would be to the north. It would just be to the, you know, look to the right, and you'll see it.
Hi, back.
Hello, Sean. We're still talking about repeater stuff in the area. It sounds like there was, at one point in time, interest in having it up, but then conversation stalled, and I don't know what happened with it after that. But yeah, that's kind of cool to know.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, it was DMR for the longest time, and it was linked up with Collins machines, and then they made the transition over to D-Star. Steve, you can correct me if I've got the, and then they tried Fusion for a hot minute. That wasn't very long, and then they went to back to DMR. So if I remember correctly, that was the cycle of the bro.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there was something to do with the Fusion there at one point, too. You're right. It might have been a hot minute. Yep. I also seeing, Sean, that you're going to have to move. God made it so, you know, you can't put a 150 tower in your yard in Warren anymore because they changed the code. I think that's right, Sean, over to you.
You know, that's the rumor. You know, whether it's true or not, I don't know. but I certainly can put anything I would care to put up in my yard. I got a 72-foot motorized crank-up tilt-over, and that's as much as I'd put up, and that'll go. I actually could, you know, put something up pretty beefy. I'm about 110 wide and about 300 front to back. So I could put something pretty big up in the back 40, but no. I don't think I'd do anything over 100. I don't even think I'll hit 100. But I do want to get that 72-footer reconditioned and up. That's kind of a goal.
Hi, Jerry.
I remember hearing at one point in time that there's, I think it was Sterling Heights, maybe I'm getting the wrong city. One of them has a 75-foot limit on a backyard antenna, and I was kind of thinking about that, and I'm just like, wait a second. Could I do an 80 meters straight up quarter wave? And then I did the math, and I'm just like, yep, 80 meter quarter wave works somehow.
That would be pretty good. Yeah, that's, I remember years ago when we had Samara Club and we had a newsletter and stuff, and I remember for a couple of years there, we went and I went around to all the different cities because they kind of was prompted by, like, St. Clair Shores was changing their building codes, you know, and they're updating it, like, to the standard code and all that kind of thing. And so I went and looked, they had it on review, so I went to City Hall and they, you know, they had it sitting out on the, like, planning commission or the planning section on the counter there. So I looked it up and then I encouraged other people to kind of go around to their cities and find out what the, you know, what the ordinances were and stuff like that. And the standard building code, I think, is 75 foot for national. So that sounds about right. And Sean, yeah, you're right, 72 feet, yeah, you should be able to do that. So that's, and so people like, I think, East Point and Roseville and a few other cities have more stringent antenna ordinances. So, but yeah, the standard national building for, I believe, is 70-foot, 5-foot. And I think that's what Warren adopted. Sean?
Yeah, I haven't really started the process yet, so I haven't, you know, looked into it. But from what I've heard from multiple sources, including some on the inside, is that, you know, pretty much it's, you know, as long as it's engineered to spec and it's installed, you know, per, you know, spec, it, they'll allow it. So, but I'm sure there's got to be a height limit. But, you know, and then there's PRB1, right? You know, people have thought that. Sterling Heights, speaking of Sterling Heights, they're horrible. Sterling Heights won't allow anything. And there have been numerous people that have fought it. And there's a guy, a rather infamous case, a guy that I know, I worked with him for a number of years. He's got that tower on 17 Mile Road, just east of the Quinner. You can see them from 17 Mile Road, and some of the only antennas, ham radio antennas, you're going to see up in the air in Sterling Heights. They're very, very difficult to work with. Ask Jeff CAD about that one. And I just got a text from my son. He better not have changed his mind on eating out, because I'm on the way home with Terry out. I'll be back. W8FQ.
Did you go to El Charro? Is that your place? Did you come this far?
Bingo. And I'm on my way home from El Charro's with the goods, and I am gazing upon the bro, the double nickel. It is right there. So, all right, I'll be back. W8FQ.
There you go, Darren. It's eyewitness account. Still stands.
Yeah, there was a short while for, like, sometime last week where I was just kind of curious as to how crazy expensive it is to get a repeater up in the air. And I kind of got to the point where I found out that the antenna is, like, what, $3,000? And the repeater itself is, like, roughly, again, $3,000. I mean, I'm rounding up a little bit, but still, there's those are two large components, and we're not even talking about the coaxial cable to run up there. That's going to be another crazy expensive, and then that's ignoring the continual expenses, like, you know, having power at the repeater site and internet at the repeater site, and probably many more things that I'm completely forgetting of. Like renting space on the tower, a very important one that's probably expensive too.
Right, yeah, he's got a tower, he's got a 20-foot antenna on top of, and so it's at 1443.55 in the scale of 107.2. But yeah, he's got a 20-foot antenna on that, and he's got a lower down, I think at 120, 190 foot maybe. There's another, you know, there's a lanyard out there, and has another one or two antennas off of that too. So sometimes you can switch them up and back. Yeah, that to it. You know, Sean is the guy. You know, more than probably most. With all the different complexities to getting space and towers and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, they went and did the V-Star for a bit. And I remember when, now I'm going back sometimes, because I remember one guy from the UCCA, what's it called, dropping it, I'm forgetting it for a moment, but Larry, W8SOX, it was Captain D-Star, and then he became Admiral Fusion, and he switched up, but I remember going to some lunches with these guys, dropping in, and they're saying, see, this is what it is, you know, D-Star, this is the way things are going to go, and they were, you know, this goes back some years. So they were all on board with the D-Star, and then they ended up going to Fusion, I think, and then there's some other groups with the DMR and that kind of thing.
Connected to CMN Network.
Well, so repeaters are all about the sites. Sites are everything. Equipment's easy. Setting them up's easy. It's all about the site. That's everything. Once you've got the site figured out, the rest all follows. Connectivity becomes, you know, probably the second most difficult issue after you got site. And site includes a lot of things. You know, site includes, one, the site itself, but two, if you're on a tower, you know, sufficient, where is there sufficient capacity? Because the tower has a very specific capacity to carry load, and so that's important. You can't exceed the loading. But and then a building, you know, there has to be there has to be a mount. It has to be sufficient, and stuff like that. So that's all part of the site. And, but once you got that figured out, the rest is easy. And probably the next hardest thing after that is connectivity. So, but all things that can be easily overcome.
What do you mean by connectivity?
How's the repeater going to connect to the rest of the world? Yeah. Now, some repeaters have no desire to connect to the rest of the world. They're standalone. That's perfectly fine. But most people these days want some sort of connectivity, whether it be a digital, you know, on Brandmeister or analog and All-Star, but most people want something like that. And figuring out how you're going to get that connectivity is the second hardest thing after you've procured the site, which is miles the other way on the hard scale. That's by far, the site is the number one thing, and after that everything's pretty trivial. But of the rest of the crap, getting a repeater and setting it up and all that other stuff, it's child's play. The hard part's, connectivity to your site, because that requires, well, it depends how you're doing it, right? But how is it going to connect to the rest of the world, if you desire that?
KAUHC, if they got it. Sounds like they do. Yeah, I remember if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, like back in the 1970s and 80s, I think even into the 90s maybe, they had, you had to have like a phone line too, right? Because people, you needed to remote control it in case there was an issue. So I remember part of it, I know what's in the closet, it's like, oh, how much does it cost to put a phone line in, rent a phone, you know, that kind of thing. And then it was the auto patch. And then when you talk about connectivity and such, and that lets you, maybe this is before Darren's time, but you have what they call California Tech. You know, when they went to volunteer examiners and such, you know, these people are getting passed through. Or they would get, instead of doing the code, they would, even before that, I think, someone was passing through on the novice, and then they could get their technician, and that was before cell phones, right? And so they had people that were using it kind of almost pseudo business and such, or they had, you know, in California, they had all these mountaintop repeaters and things like that, you know, all kinds of things. But, Darren?
Yeah, well, getting a phone line there, which probably was its own phone level of complexity. Now in the digital age, it's not like we need to have a dedicated light or dedicated line ran from here to there. We can just connect up to another fiber node. Maybe another device on that whole fiber network and to get internet, which that also implies that there's not already internet in the building or in the structure. And if you're close enough to a cell tower, if you are at a cell tower type of a site, there's already internet there somehow. So you just need to figure out how the heck to link up with the cell network's dedicated hardware network they have there, maybe, but whatever. Kilo Foxtrot, Echo Tango, Quebec.
And that's where it gets tricky, because nobody wants anybody else interloping on their network. You know, there's plenty of, you might be on a building with a million businesses in it, all with their own connectivity. Nobody wants you on their network. So you got to come up with your own. You can do it through RF. You can do it through phone lines, although nobody's doing that anymore. Mostly it's internet now. And, you know, but you can still do it with RF. And, you know, we've done some in the past, back in the day, back in the early 90s, we had control receivers. There was a receiver on an unknown frequency, maybe not even in the same band. And you could go in there and you could do all sorts of control operator commands, you know, to operate the receiver, shut it down, turn it on, do all this stuff, and it wouldn't even be on the same band. And, you know, that was kind of a cool way to get it back in the day. No real need to do that anymore, but you got to find out a way. You got to be able to control your repeater, and most people want connectivity, you know, of some sort, even if it's not, you know, permanent thing like we do on the repeaters here. So figuring out how to get that is usually that means how you get into the internet, unless you really do it right and put in your own network, which is kind of what Central Michigan does. And you know, I've built that out here in Macomb County, so we have it here. But you know, that's the real way to do it. That way, it keeps it kind of hardened, amateur. We're not dependent upon anybody, and we got our own microwave connectivity. So, you know, ultimately, we get to the internet to allow people to come in with their little hotspots and stuff like that. But if that goes down, shrug. We still keep all the main connections to the repeaters for the emergencies and things like that. So, all right, I'm turning down my street. I will listen out, and then I'm going to be home with the goods. W8FU. Steve?
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. Yep. All the little history of that stuff. Yeah, what's your go-to at El Charro? What's the go-to? Why do you, because it's a little bit of a trip for you, so you must have a go-to item. Yeah, you can't get anywhere closer.
The puffy taco, man. I'm not a big fan, but my wife is absolutely, she loves them. And they got really good enchiladas, too. They're different. You know, their stuff is very different. I tend to like more, you know, Mexican street tacos and things like that. But you know, these are good in their own way. So we get they get this pick two combo. Usually get an enchilada and a taco with the beans and rice. So, all right. I'm out of here. WNFU. Darren.
Talk to you later, Sean.
7-3, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they used to sell, like, at Kroger, they had these little street taco kits. I'd go in sometimes in there on Mondays or something like that, and they would have them, and I'd buy them. It's been a bit, a couple years probably since I've done that, but, yeah, a good street taco is pretty good. And I can make, like, 10 of them for whatever their clearance price is. Okay, very good. And, yeah, all that stuff with the repeater. So what kind of digital equipment do you have, Darren?
I have an ID50 that I had gotten recently for $350, used, of course. And that ID50 is kind of cool. The other ones I have is I have two or three different DMR radios, one of which is USB-390. That one, and then I have one. It's a different one, which is a QIT MD 6900, I think it is, which is a mobile unit, and that one works wonderfully when conditions allow, I guess. And then I think I have a BTEC UV Pro. I don't remember the name of it. Either way, that one doesn't do digital in like the traditional sense. But you can use a built-in modem with repeaters and such. So I can do APRS natively on it and connect over Bluetooth and send WinLink up to something, implying there's a repeater that can actually pick it up.
Okay, yeah, I know it's a big thing with the WinLink with the Amateur Radio Public Service Corps, East Macomb County, so that's handy. And the D-Star stuff, yeah, I remember that one radio there, like, it was a mobile radio. So even if the D-Star wasn't, you know, going to be, you know, wasn't so much accessible, it did have that pass-through mode, so if you were, say you had a what is it, MD-390 or is it, you know, any of the smaller, you know, the handheld DMR radios, you could actually pass it through the ICOM. I think it still would put out 50 watts. So it would have boosted up and that kind of thing. So it still had some, you know, digital utility, as well as they would do it for Fusion as well, I believe. So some of those radios, even though, like I say, even those D-Star isn't so prevalent in this area, kind of scares. With a little ingenuity, they're still useful for digital.
That's interesting that you may mention radio over IP or something like that. I don't know exactly how to get the ID50 to interact with CMR at all. I understand that you can get to reflectors. I know I can get to the MMDVM, I think it is, thing that I have in the basement, and I can use that to get onto a reflector that's apparently linked up to the East Coast reflector, which also has D-Star, DMR, Fusion, NFDN, and probably two or three other digital modes alongside, you know, your standard analog Echo Link and can't remember the other one right now.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Now people coming up with different stuff, different modes and stuff. Doug over here, his call was, it is adapted his dad's old call as a WGA something, and I think he changed it to new show, but he's a pretty smart guy. And it was called D-Star, something like that. Of course, he hasn't been updating it lately, but he did it, and he put it out there as an Android app. And I think it's still functional, and you can get to a bunch of modes through it. You didn't have the radios, you could use the app. You know, it's not too well known. I have to look it up again. It was on one of my devices, but the devices, you know, the operating system is older on it, on this tablet. But yeah, people do some very creative things. Because, like, some of the stuff with Sean, I remember I told him this guy down in Miami or something was doing some link, and he had, like, two boards, and he created this, like, hot spot. And then you know, Sean, like, never built that. And it was, what, you said of an Bofang 888, something 888. And he actually, Sean has made it, like, very small. It's down to, like, a cigarette pack size. So he took it a few steps further.
Yeah, I think I need to look into, well, some antenna design stuff, because I'm kind of curious on how to get, or how to build a better antenna than the tiny whip that I have off the top of my radio, and I say tiny, with 15 inches or something like that, 15, maybe 18. Either way, I'm kind of curious about trying to figure out how to build an antenna that I can throw a rope in a tree and get it higher in the air so that, I can get further signal, more out of curiosity than anything else. Just, do you have any advice for that?
And for what band? I know people do that, you know, for field day. You know, generally what people do is pretty common, right? You know, but people get out creative stuff. For what band, Darren?
I was more looking for trying to do a UHF, VHF thing, so I could throw an antenna in the tree and get further range than I could off of the radio, just the radio with the antenna that's on it right now by default. The idea would be to try to, like, see if I could hit further out repeaters that I've not been able to figure out how to pick up so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think a popular one, you know, people would do, like, for that kind of thing is they get those, they build those J-poles, you know. So you could make it out of copper, or you could put wires or you put those wires inside. You'd have to check the tuning a little bit on it, but that's kind of what some of them do. They put them in PVC. You know, some people are saying they're using them. You have to get like 300 ohm twin lead, and they're saying how pricey those 300 ohm twin lead is. So some people are happy when they explore some of that. You know, we've been talking in recent weeks and months. And, but yeah, people kind of do that with some of these J-poles, because a J-pole, right, it's a halfway, so it isn't ground dependent. So that's kind of for experimentation or that kind of thing, I would look into that.
That one does sound interesting. There was a different one, though, that I had seen with coaxial, and I think it ends up being roughly a similar idea to a J-pole, in terms of you have a coaxial segment that goes up on both sides, and you have that little smaller tuning thing, that is basically a dead short somehow, and then up on the main antenna, it goes up, and it there's these segments that are, let's just say, quarter wave, probably on 70 centimeters, that where the antenna is cut out, and or where the shield is cut out every quarter wavelength of 70 centimeters, I think, roughly. And somehow those parasitic elements are very, very useful in terms of the 70 centimeter, and then they just aren't useful and just not problematic when you're on the 2 meter transmit and receive. So that's what I was, that's what I had seen online, but I can't figure out the directions for it anymore. I think that's a rough idea. Yeah, passing it back to you.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are some ideas. Yeah, I found different over the course of time reading these journals and such and seeing things. That, it's kind of interesting, and then you hear about it again and try to circle back to it. Sometimes it's difficult to find it, or having some paperwork or give a presentation somewhere. You know, years ago, or if it was in a newsletter or something, people always coming up with ideas. That's what that makes amateur radio interesting, for sure. This is KAAUHC.
dual-banded radio antenna, even though the dual-banded radio antenna maybe could have performed, or maybe realistically would have been able to perform worse because you have it tuned for two different bands, whereas the flower pot is intended to be designed for just one band. Either way, it's kind of interesting how you can get dual-banded that perform better than a mono-band antenna somehow. Dual Foxtrot and Echo Tango Quebec.
Yeah, oh yeah, sounds like a good experiment. Like I say, some of the things you don't think about before is like, oh, people got twin lead around TV, twin lead. And recently it's kind of a surprise to see how expensive it was, or if you're going to buy it, you know. So if you see your neighbor or someone tossing that stuff to the curb or something, I guess it's kind of valuable these days. I got some wound up, I know, in the garage and some in the basement and stuff. And I did use this for it. We had this AmeriClub a few years, a number of years ago. We used that as a club project at one of the meetings. We made these dual band J-poles, about a twin loop. So it's an inexpensive project. Mike, and EDV, his project he had with this little, tape measure 440 beam is more expensive. His is, he's 3D printed, mounting things and all that. His is very slick. Ours was not that fancy. Back to you.
To a certain extent, though, it didn't really need to be fancy either, though, just because all you really need for at least the Yagis, you need a body and you need the parasitic elements and the driven elements, and probably the reflector, too, but I think the reflector is technically a parasitic element. Either way, that you could do that if you wanted to, for example, with a piece of wood that's from the garage that you just cut down to long enough or short enough size and light enough that you can actually hold it in your own hand like you would be able to with a 3D printed pipe.
Yeah, that would work too. Some of the antennas that you like, what you're saying, hold it in your hand, is if you look around, I think in some of the ARL like magazines or antenna books or so, one of them some years ago, where they had a backpack, they call it like a backpack quad, so you could go and then you could, it had pieces of PVC, I think it was, you put it, or wood, but I think PVC, because you could, take it apart, put it together, it's relatively easy, and then, string these little wires up on it. If you're backpacking, pull it out and spin it around, so that might be an option for you.
I happen to have quite a bit of this RG58, I believe it is. I don't exactly remember. A whole bunch of coaxial cable, though, and that's where I'm trying to figure out how the heck I can make one of those coaxial cables.
Yeah, hams always have stuff, You never know. Come up with something and take it to a club somewhere and be a little club project. Well, I'm going to run out of here, Darren. Sun's going down here. I've got to finish up a little bit of yard work here before we kick off the week. And hopefully talk to you again. 7-3. Good luck with all your projects and ideas. It always sounds very doable, a lot of stuff you got going on. This is KAAUHG.
You're connected to CMN Network. currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Foxtrot Kilo, calling all CQs, calling all CQs.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.